What's up, everybody? Man, I don't even know if I feel like doing a intro after the what I just watched like an hour ago.
Trash, feeble.
That was a painful elimination game watch, which I think it may have been just about a year ago, where we kind of seen the same thing happen to another team in the Eastern Conference against Boston. Just a perfect way. I think we kind of see how narratives grow and how it could change in a matter of like a quarter, 12 minutes, right? Because Harden and Embiid did themselves no favors. And then obviously Jason Tatum, people forgot, because if they got eliminated in game six and Tatum got sent home, we would have seen what the narrative were gonna be. But now it's like the exact opposite. Crazy how 5 quarters can change how people view you. Probably for a long
Trash
time
ass
in your
niggas.
career.
Trash.
Well, Felice, I'm just gonna let you take the floor for this not only game seven, but for this series. You start us off, man.
First of all, my series prediction was I think I had Celtics in like four or five. I don't remember which one I said on here. I know on Twitter I said Celtics on four, but I was being half serious. Shocker that Joe Mazzulla wanted to troll and give these niggas hope. But yeah, trash ass roster couldn't beat the Celtics. Not a surprise. Fucking Embiid, terrible. Harden, one of the worst ever. Tobias, I mean, y'all know what Tobias do. I don't have to say anything about him. Trash ass nigga, wanna be fucking. He scores all his points when the game does not matter, and he fools his dumbass fans that he has, which is surprising. Maxey, trash. Not even gonna get started with him. Doc Rivers, honestly, I can't even blame Doc. The team was just terrible, to be honest. You can't really blame Doc, even though he's not a good coach. And yeah. So that's 27. I'm not surprised, bro. Truly not surprised. What game was it? Was it game five where the Celtics were down like a couple points and Tatum was like terrible?
Six.
No, I was in game six.
Yeah, it was last game where he was like he scored 1 point in the first quarter in the first
Oh, that
half.
was game six.
Yeah, and he scored 19 or 17 in the fourth quarter. That was game
Yeah, I
six.
just knew the way they were playing, they weren't gonna win that game, bro.
Yeah.
And people kept fucking calling me a troll, saying, "Oh, you never say anything positive about the team." I'm like, "Nigga, what is there to say, bro? Like, these niggas suck."
That is right. I did see that. I did see that on Twitter when Felice said he's not moved. He was being called a hater. I do remember that. And you ended up getting proven right. Specifically, I think you must feel.
I literally fucking said, like, when they were playing during game six, I'm like, "Bro, these niggas are not playing well. Like, they're not gonna win. It's just not happening."
Yeah, I mean, you must feel validated. I mean, every day I was waking up to 10 more notifications from you. And you ended up getting proven right.
I mean, yeah,
What
Daryl Morey, what can I say? One of the worst GMs in the sport of
the.
basketball. Reminder, this guy traded the 2025 first round pick to get rid of Al Horford, the same Al Horford that's now clamping up your best player, hitting threes, whatever. Funny ass guy. Way better than Tobias Harris, by the way. Very funny how that works. Traded multiple first round picks for Harden. Now they don't have assets to trade for anybody else. I be seeing Sixers fans saying, "Oh, we're gonna trade for Dame." I'm like, "Nigga, you have no assets. Like, what are you talking about?"
Yeah, you could trade for Dame by giving up
I don't
Embiid
even
and
know who the
Harden.
Blazers GM is, but he will laugh his ass off seeing whatever the fuck trade package they could.
No
You're
chance.
gonna take Tyrese Maxey? Fuck no, that nigga is garbage.
Like if they're gonna trade Dame, he's going for either five, four or five first round picks, or they're gonna hope that they win the
Yeah,
lottery on
like,
Tuesday.
bro, if Dame gets traded, I'm just not surprised if it's like the Nets or some shit. Some team with like a bunch of firsts
Right.
and some tradable young players that aren't like terrible.
So we're obviously we know the obvious turning point of the series was the last like what was it? When did Tatum make his first three in the fourth quarter? It was like 6 minutes left or something.
Nah, it
That
was less
was
than that, I believe.
like the turning point of this entire series because most people going into the series expected what a Boston blowout for most of it, right?
Yeah.
And to
Yeah.
be honest, didn't Boston blow them out game two, game
Game
three
two,
was
they blew
close.
them
Game two
out.
and game two and game seven. Really, that's it.
Game two and game seven were the only blowouts, but yeah, game six they could have won easily. Game three they could have won easily, but nope.
And that's the definition of being a as much as I hate the narrative regular season team, right? I mean, Philadelphia was I elite from three in the regular season, mind you. They were what top three or were they number two or even number one?
No,
I
they were
can't
the number
recall.
one 3-point shooting team in the NBA. according to shooting percentage. Yeah, they shot 40%. Nobody shot 40%. It was like 39 point something. It was close to 40.
Well, guess what they shot against Boston?
Like 31.
Sub 30.
You're close. 33%.
I'm not surprised. Bro, I was saying all fucking season, I'm like, yo, they need to get another wing player that can shoot. I'm like, Liang is not playable in the playoffs.
And they choked. Because today, Harden, to be fair, as trash as he was, in the first half, he generated a lot of very good looks. And it, only Tucker was able to make him. Nobody else was able to find it. Game six, Melton missed like four open threes in a row, if people remember that.
Melton's only job on the team is playing defense and shooting threes, and he couldn't do either all series.
You had
just good funny ass player, man.
It wasn't because to give credit to Boston, their defense on Embiid was sensational and Harden, specifically in game seven. But you had the looks regardless. And the reason why Boston was so confident double teaming both guys today so aggressively is because these other guys couldn't make their shots. I mean, just watch the first quarter and see how much good looks Harden generated out of his drives. And they came away with only 11
trash
points.
Trash-ass players, bro.
So
some of these players on this Sixers team, man, they have a hater for life. I'm sorry. Like, Maxi, oh, my God. He has a hater for life, bro. There's just no way. Trash-ass nigga, man. He can't. This nigga has the easiest job on the team, probably, out of anybody that actually plays in the rotation. All he has to do is hit open threes and occasionally gets to the rim. He can't even do that at a semi-consistent rate. I think he shot, like, sub 40% all playoffs. Just trash.
Garbage. I'll tell you what he shot this series. Across the entire series, he shot 40% from the field and 35% from three on eight attempts.
It's trash. And then I'm not even going to get into his defense. Jesus Christ, bro.
To be honest with you, the Sixers did better than I expected because I picked the Celtics to win in five games. But to be honest with you, I could have said Celtics in seven if I had known James Harden was going to have two 40-point games, because without those games, it was a five-game series. So he stepped up two big times, and they pushed into game seven, even though it really didn't feel like a seven-game series because Boston is the clear, way better team.
Yep.
It's just,
I mean, shit, even though Harden was ass in game six and seven, like, at least he had two games in the series where he fucking won you games. Like, Embiid didn't have one, bro.
Game four.
I guess game five, but bro, that everybody on the Sixers played well in game five.
Yeah, that was like the one game I would have saw them winning, like Embiid going off or everyone on the team going off. The two games that Harden
Embiid went off. Harden had a good game. Maxey had a good game. Even Tobias had a good game, which is rare. PJ Tucker, I guess, had a good game.
And Daniel House coming.
Melton had a good game. Niang actually had a good game, I'm pretty sure. Like, everybody on the Sixers had a good game in game five. Embiid didn't have one game in this entire series where he won you a game.
He shot 8 of 19 terrible in the entire series. Which, I'm not going to lie, it's embarrassing. I can't put it, like, when you remember at the beginning of the playoffs, if you guys can refresh your memory, we saw that article where he was talking, you know, what he was just silly insinuating about Jokic in the postseason.
Indirectly, yeah.
Yeah. So Jokic went to war against Kat and Rudy. Then he went to war against KD and Booker. And now he finds himself in the conference finals after having probably, you could argue, one of the greatest series ever.
Yeah,
I hope Embiid can have one game where he wins in the series. MVP, but by the way. Just
Embiid,
disgusting.
Embiid was bad. Round one, Embiid was bad, by the way. Don't let his defense, by the way, was sensational. But offensively, he was very poor in round one as well. It wasn't.
I mean, yeah, he was facing terrible. He was, I mean, not terrible, terrorist defense. But yeah, Clyster
had him. Jack Vaughn, you know, was essentially not going to let him beat him. Then you come to Boston.
Yeah, even that game plan was kind of funny, though. Let everybody else know this should be you. And I'm like, no, you got beat.
It's funny because I feel like it would have worked for these if it was just now.
If the Nets had a good offense.
Because they held Philly
honestly
down.
I'm surprised the Sixers, I'm surprised the Celtics didn't do that at some point.
I know, that's what I was saying before the series. I was thinking the Celtics should have just did the same thing that Nets did, because they're capable of it. Their defense is honestly better as a team, and their offense is
better,
the best in the league. So yeah, I was kind of surprised that they didn't. So when Embiid had those three straight 30-point games, I was kind of
Joe Mazzulla was terrible, Lexan. I mean, it took him six
he's
games
bad, yeah.
Joe
Mazzulla
fucking five games to fucking figure out, oh, this is how the team is intended to be played.
Yeah,
this, like, the Imadoku wins the series. This could be a sweep with Imadoku.
Yeah, Imadoku, like, probably sweeps.
Why did it take him so long to start Robert Williams? I'll never understand. But I don't know, maybe it was dramatics for television. I don't think that was a reason. But certainly, if it takes you that long to make a decision like that.
I said Doc is not at fault for this series, but there's things he could have done better, bro. Like, this motherfucker was playing PJ Tucker in games where he had no business playing, bro. Like, once in game six, I think, it was game six, PJ Tucker's like open in the corner every time because Shocker, he can't make that shit anymore. After having his best shooting season ever, the Sixers signed him, he just reversed to being ass. I don't know how that happens. But yeah, game six, he was missing a bunch of wide open threes. And I'm like, bro, this is the game where you play in the hang, even though I hate that nigga. Like, come on, bro.
And yeah, game seven was, although to be fair, even in game seven, Tatum had otherworldly shot making, especially that, you know.
I'm not surprised.
We'd say a lot about Jokic and his pick and roll defense, but Embiid today on the pick and roll was getting.
No, his defense was bad today. I tweeted that.
Embiid's defense was bad today after being good for like.
Oh, he was amazing. Even in this series, as poor as he was offensively for his standards, he was still great the first six games defensively. But today, it was pretty bad.
You could tell, I think, in the first like two positions, he just wasn't all the way there today. Like, there was like three plays where he just let somebody get behind him, wasn't even paying attention.
Just feeble.
And yeah, exactly. Like, you can't, your MVP, after all he insinuated about the other MVP, this other competitor, you can't have a game like that.
You can look at a couple of games for Embiid on his playoff resume where he was bad, but at least all the times that you think that he's played really bad offensively, like 2019 against the Raptors, he was otherworldly on defense. Tonight, he was just terrible on both ends. This is probably his worst career playoff game.
Definitely most embarrassing.
Just disgusting. Just absolutely disgusting player.
Jalen, what you take away from this?
It's just bad playoff players being bad playoff players. I'm just I expected it. I expected the series to be over in game five. So I mean, congratulations to the Sixers for pulling off two more games than I expected to pull off. But I mean,
like, I played like three more than I expected.
Yeah. It's like, it's like once I saw what happened in game six where they couldn't put him away, all they had to do was hit like one open three to kill all
Maxie,
the
momentum.
Melton, Maxie just breaking open threes. I mean, you know, it's just like at some point you just know the series is over. And even though the Sixers had the high ground, I guess you could say in some points of the series, I never really had a moment where I was like, okay, the Sixers might lose this series. And that's just like what it is for the Sixers. When it's a team that's so hot and cold, so reliant on two players, and those two players just happen to be two of the lowest playoff sinkers in the league, you can't really expect much from the Sixers, especially when they're coached by Doc Glenn Rivers. And I'm not blaming Doc for the loss.
I can't even be mad.
Yeah, I'm not blaming Doc for the loss, but I will say that Doc doesn't have a good track record, so it's not surprising that people do blame him for the loss, and it wouldn't be surprising if he does get fired. But, I mean, what do you really expect? They're going against a better team. They can't really make mistakes against the Celtics because they know the Celtics have players that can go off at any moment, like Jason Tatum did today, and you just can't allow yourself to go back to Boston when you have a 3-2 series lead and you're in Philly. You have the lead at this end of the third quarter, and you have Jason Tatum sticking it up. You can't.
They had the lead in the fourth with like less than 5 minutes left.
Yep. You can't let it go back to Boston at that point. You have to finish it off. And the fact that they didn't finish it off, I just knew. I said in chat, I was like, the Celtics game seven blowout is so obvious. Yeah. So, I mean, can't really blame them.
Just disgusting ass team. Once again, bro, I said in like February, I'm like, yeah, Daryl Morey's not making moves. I'm like, yeah, they're not doing shit, bro. I'm like, got trolled relentlessly. Niggas saying, oh, you're mad negative. Nope, the roster is just not good. Shocker.
Look at the shooting numbers from Boston. I mean,
I'm gonna be writing a Morey hate letter at some point. Over 1,000 words.
The 1,000 word apology did not work out, I guess.
Are we going to get a Philly apology to the fans like Phoenix did last year? Are we going to get a legendary photo to look back upon after
this? Man, this was embarrassing, but at least they weren't a 64-win team one seed.
Bro, if the Sixers had most of their draft picks, bro, like, they would just, like, blow it up, but since they don't, because that's how bad Maury is of a GM, by the way, they're going to be forced to, they're going to have to stick with Harden probably. They're going to have to trade Tobias somehow. Some grace of God, they're going to have to find some team to take Tobias. Probably going to fire Doc. I have no idea who they'd replace him with, considering the options on the market right now.
Yeah.
And considering that their owner is cheap as shit, I don't even think they're going to hire like a veteran head coach. Wouldn't surprise me. I have no idea. The Sixers look kind of directionless, but not surprised. That's what Maury does to franchises.
You know, trust the process. Fucking trust loser. The process. Trust the process. Well, what did it gain? Trust in you, Philly fans. Specifically, I'm directing this at Joey, who decided to make fun of my team all the damn time. Where the hell did your team get you? You haven't even made a conference finals since before he was born.
You know he's not going to listen to this. So.
I do not care. I'm just saying that all the clowning, and you still your team still has been to a conference finals before my team has. So that's all crazy. I got. But yeah, if you listen to our last episode, we were kind of correct. We said, based off the way Boston defended Atlanta, we wouldn't be surprised if Philly found success, which they did. But game six, they lost it when Embiid, I don't think he touched the ball in the last 5 minutes or 4 minutes. He touched it like one time.
He wasn't, bro. His body
didn't touch the ball one time in the last 4 minutes.
Like, what the hell was that about?
So bad. Every time the Sixers get blown out, Embiid just stops trying. He just gives up. His body language is
terrible.
Yeah. In game six, 90 seconds left. I mean, what was it, a 9-point game? I mean,
like, yeah, he probably lost. Not even that bad.
So you've seen crazier comebacks than that, and they just gave up, and that was embarrassing. It was Harden too, but Embiid, I feel like Embiid does that all the time.
And, I mean, we've seen it at Denver. Yeah. Didn't they make like a 12-point comeback against the Timberwolves like 2 minutes left?
Yeah.
They're down by 12. Yeah. You don't give up. And certainly when you're not the, you know, if a role player shrinks his shoulders, who gives it? Who cares? But you're the best player on the team, and they see you just, you know, today, like when Boston went up 18, I think Brogdon hit a three or something. And then you could just tell Harden and Embiid their shoulders dropped.
Bro, I knew when the flagrant foul was called, I'm like, yeah, bro, that's the game right there. It's fucking disgusting. Like a 10-point swing for no reason.
That was a terrible call. I'm not gonna lie. I don't even think it should have been a foul. Like,
yeah, I don't think it should have been a foul, but I'm not surprised it was called. And then boom. It's funny though how that fucking that report from Woj came out
before the game, right? That was kind
of weird. And then Doc was like talking about the refs and shit. I'm like, I don't know. That kind of just sets a bad precedent, in my opinion. But not surprised. That's what the Sixers do. They fucking cock tease people all year just to lose in the same fashion almost all the time. I have no idea what they're going to do next year. Not my problem, though.
We shall see, as they're certainly a very interested team to track this summer. Congratulations to Boston. You will get to play Jimmy Butler again. For like the third time.
That's a great matchup that I won't be watching.
Great matchup if you want to go to sleep in front of the TV.
That's a great matchup that I won't be watching.
Right. I'm not going to skip over the series, but certainly it was a snooze fest. No disrespect to either team who played great defense so far all postseason. Between the Miami Heat and the New York Knicks.
Why couldn't the Bucks fucking win, bro? Like, Jesus. I just want an entertaining Eastern Conference Finals.
Respect to the New York Knicks for... specifically to Brunson for that game six performance. Because if it was me and my team had less field goals made than I did as a player myself, I would lose my mind.
Julius Randle has to be one of the worst playoff players ever.
This is 31 a game from Brunson. I'm not going to lie. Brunson, what a...
Yeah, I was about to say, he averaged 31 a game. That was insane.
Against Miami, too.
Yeah.
Like, I saw when he scored his 30th point in that game six. I said this. They said it was his fourth 30-point game in the series. I was shocked because I hadn't really been paying attention. Or, I mean, I was, but it was just so quiet, it felt like, that he was actually scoring 30 points every game and didn't even seem like it.
The games are low scoring, to be honest. So you'd be surprised, like, people scored 30 or whatever. It was funny, man. The Knicks got closed out in game six, and Jimmy Butler didn't even have a good game. Like,
not at all. He had a poor series compared to what he said. I mean, he shot 11% from three. By the way, if you guys remember, he shot 66% against Milwaukee. He shot 43% from the field. So he was actually so miserable. I knew Knicks were going to make his life much tougher.
So surprised.
And
shocker that he doesn't face some shitty-ass defense and he doesn't
Props to Gabe Vincent, though. I mean, what was that one game where was it game one? Or was it one of these recent games?
It was game two.
Game two, they lost.
Those Heat players be having some crazy-ass performances.
Someone knew, like, every game.
Yeah, this show out. It was Max Strus that had like that 30-point game in the play-in that got them in.
Didn't Duncan Robinson have a game?
Yeah, Duncan Robinson even got in. I mean, though he's holding the rotation because Tyler Herro got hurt, but still stepping up when he's given the chance. And I don't know.
Beat culture, ladies and gentlemen.
That shit is fake. That shit has to be fake, right? Like, it has to be studied.
By the way, if you love great defense, they play great defense this series, both teams.
By the way, Kevin Love hitting threes.
All their role play. Heat culture, I really wanted to deny. It was just a thing LeBron James made bigger than it really is. But if you got Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, Kevin Love,
LeBron,
the guy people are calling fucking the 90 million podcaster.
Bro, LeBron would have like fucking 10 rings if Heat culture was a thing 10 years ago. And they just spawned all these random ass bums that could shoot like 50%.
You see all of these players and how they're making shots. They are all good shooters. So it just confuses me why they were so bad in the regular season, because all these guys are good shooters. Now that you're seeing it, like, they are good shooters. Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, Kevin Love, Caleb Martin. Like, these guys are good shooters.
Maybe bottom five offense in the NBA. Yeah,
Jimmy Butler said, Lexon, right? I don't try until the playoffs. Maybe they're all like that. I don't know.
I'm sure. You can't try to miss shots. I'm so sure.
Because there's no genuine explanation for this, because they're not even playing any different. Like, Spoelstra has always been elite when it comes to play calls. They made
50% of their contested threes against the Bucks. Granted, the Bucks don't contest threes. For the little times that they do, they hit over 50% of those shots, and that's just – you're going to win if you do that. That's what the miracle they needed, and they got it, and now they're in the conference finals. So
they didn't even shoot well this series.
This series they didn't even shoot well.
If you actually
look at the games, low scoring, bro.
The Knicks actually, funny enough, they shot, except for in the paint, in the restricted area, the Knicks shot 10% below league average in just the restricted area.
That's nasty, man. I'm not surprised the rest of the paint.
And then on top of that, the Knicks, who have more size than the Miami Heat by a considerable margin.
Yep, Mitchell Robinson.
The Heat shot 30 more shots in the restricted area. That just should not be happening.
Mitchell Robinson was getting bitched. What game was it? Was it game four or five?
Was the disgusting one where he was just letting Jimmy Butler or Caleb Martin grab every rebound. It was bad.
That's insane because, Evan Mobley and Jared Allen
giving up rebounds.
Evan Mobley and Jared Allen aren't good rebounders. They're both sub 10 rebounds a game. Jared Allen's always been a pretty weak rebounder, but Mitchell Robinson was looking like Bill Russell. But Bam is only 6'9" and he's their center. So why wasn't he able to go and replicate that versus the Heat? I don't get it.
Kevin Love isn't even a good rebounder anymore.
It wasn't that Julius Randle wasn't getting rebounds. He averaged 10. It was in the crucial moments. I'm talking
about Mitchell Robinson.
Mitchell Robinson
was putting. Eight rebounds a game, bro. Didn't he just come off 12 or 13 against two?
Yeah, to what he did versus that Cavs team, I don't know how you drop so much. I get that the Cavs big men aren't great rebounders either, but you're going to the Heat, who have a 6'9" center. You should have done the same thing this series.
They lost at six, which means there was a 2-game difference. And if you look, the end of game one, they couldn't grab a damn rebound. And the end of game four, the same scenario. They just grab rebounds. They win both games. It's almost that simple. The one thing I got to say about game six at the end of the game that really pissed me off was
Randle.
They were down, not even, they were down four with like a minute 20. And for whatever idiotic reason, they go to double to first a turnover. Bro, you're down four with 1 minute 20. You don't have to do that. And then they got a free dunk, obviously, off of it because they came in out from the middle of the floor.
You don't have to double in a scenario where you're down four with like 90 seconds left.
Yeah. Like, what was that about?
You only do that shit when you're down four and there's like 30 seconds left.
Like, disgusting work down to the wire. If I'm a Knicks fan, it's a good season. I'm not going to deny that. But you still should be very disappointed you weren't able to move on and get to a conference finals
relative to their like expectations before the season, the Knicks had a good season, but they could have easily been playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, they probably wouldn't beat the Celtics anyways, but like just thinking
about it would have been.
When you're looking into the season, first of all, they weren't even supposed to beat the Cavs. They weren't the favorites, but as soon as you beat them, you're like, well, we're going to lose to the Bucks, but at least we're there. But no, a miracle happened and you get to play the 8 seed. So, yeah, if I was a Knicks fan, I definitely would have expected the Eastern Conference Finals if I saw the 8 seed in the second round waiting for me, but still got to be proud of the season, I guess, because second round pushed 6 games. They weren't even predicted to make the playoffs by a lot of people. I think I had them in the play-in in my predictions, my preseason.
I think I had them in the play-in, yeah.
So they exceeded, but yeah, I would still be a little disappointed to not make the conference finals, get eliminated by an AC. That does suck.
Especially when you did as good as they did. They defended Jimmy Butler very well, so.
Yeah.
Yep. Finally, he faces a fucking tough playoff defense. Jesus Christ, man. It should be infuriating. Like,
It's deflating, especially because it's one thing if your best player gets outplayed. Jalen Brunson had a good series, so.
Jalen Brunson was probably the best player in the entire series.
You walk away with that one hurt because Julius Randle, you got to do better. RJ Barrett has some really good games, but not enough consistency.
Bro, if we're being real, Julius Randle has to be the worst playoff performer in NBA history, bro.
Yeah, he might just be, dude. This is an insane drop. I
don't know how else you put it.
He was injured, though.
I'll give him that. Like,
I was about to say, I don't want to write him off entirely, but like, he did have that injury that he also re-aggravated. Plus, he played a defensive front court of Evan Mobley and Jared Allen and then Bam Adebayo. So, I mean, it was some tough matchups, but it's still pretty inexcusable to play that poorly.
I think his IQ is what people probably complain about a lot. Like, the shots.
Is Randle going to revert to being ass next year or something? Because, like, it was like the same shit he did in 2021.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think he'll still be good in the regular season just because I don't know why NBA teams do that. Like, they really don't care about scouting reports until April comes along.
His Knicks career is hilarious. His first season, he was terrible. His second season, he was an all-star, had the most improved season, ass in the playoffs, reverted to being ass the next year. Now this season, he was good, ass in the playoffs. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, will he even be around? True. That's the question. Well they decide to pivot because they have their assets. They can make something happen if they so desire.
Oh, yeah. He's like semi tradable now because he actually had a good season.
And his money is not a lot. As much as people like to say, he's not even getting paid much next year. So it's not even a bad contract to take on, especially for like 1 year kind of thing.
The Knicks got to bring back Josh Hart, too, because he's probably going to opt out of the $13 million. He'll probably get way more than that.
Yeah,
you have to. He'll probably stay on the team, to be honest. He just gives me the vibes that he likes being in the league. I don't know.
What do you think about it, Jalen?
I'm not a big fan of Julius Randle's game. I think the fact that he settles for so many pull-up threes and pull-up mid-ranges, I think it's the same issue I have with DeMar DeRozan. They don't force their way to the rim, and it's really not sustainable unless you're like
– Embiid syndrome.
Yeah, unless you're like a Kawhi-level mid-range shooter, it's really not sustainable for the playoffs. You have to force your way to the rim, especially when the game slows down and a lot of the game is in half-court situations. You're not getting to transition as much. You have to be able to force your way to the rim or at least be an efficient mid-range slash three-point shooter or at least be able to create some space because Julius Randle really just faces up, does a little like two pump fakes and then shoots it. He's kind of like Marcus Morris in that sense, but Marcus Morris probably makes more mid-range shots than Julius Randle does. But yeah, I don't think that he will revert to being bad next season. It's not a thing where like a team figured him out or like the league hasn't figured out. I just think that his game, just like DeMar DeRozan's, is predicated for the regular season and not the playoffs. But he also was injured, so I can't say that he was just like ass on his own accord. But I don't think that Julius Randle is going to win you any championship playoff games, anything like that. I think he's just a good player for the regular season.
Yep, sounds exactly like Embiid to me. Same
syndrome. Josh Hart. You know, I know you, Felice, you mentioned that, but that he was going to find success against Butler. He held Jimmy Butler to 9 of 24 shooting, so he did very good on him. The issue was he averaged four fouls a game, so it really reduced.
Yeah, he was
kind of bullshitting him, though. He had a couple of bad calls. They had that nasty flagrant call on him in game five, I think it was. That
especially, was game five where he picked up, I think, 3 or 4 fouls in the first 4 minutes of game time.
Yeah, that hurts badly.
The rest be bullshitting every defender. Season.
So it's I feel like if Josh Hart could have upped his minutes to like the Randle, first of all, playing 37 minutes a game when the guy has one leg is some criminal work from
Thibodeau. Yeah, he's
bro, if he's not giving you anything offensively, which he was not doing for like literally every playoff game besides like I think one, there's like no reason to play him.
Yeah, especially defense like maybe the rest would have helped him. And then if Josh Hart instead could have avoided foul trouble, upped his minutes to the 38 range, maybe you steal a game or so. But yeah, this was a, regardless of how the season went, you have to be disappointed in the way it ended. As that was, I'm obviously assuming they don't make a big move and they decide to maybe wait for a better opportunity. Next year is just not going to be, you're not going to have a path like this probably next year. So
yeah, it was a great season,
a lot of teams blew their best chances of winning a title this year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like a lot.
And Bucks, I would say every team. If you were in the playoffs, you did.
The Clippers.
All right. There's certain teams that, let's just be serious, it just wasn't going to happen.
They were going to have a chance, of course, but.
The Bucks, the Sixers, the Cavs, the Suns. Who else? The Grizzlies. Oh, the Grizzlies fucking blew it big time.
They could have strolled to the Western Conference Finals. Real emphasis on the Cavs, because if they got to play the Heat round two, they might win that.
No, they would win that.
Yeah, so it's like
that would be some of the lowest scoring playoff series we would ever see. We would see 89-90 final scores.
An offensive player like Donovan Mitchell, who's going to win you the series. So then you get, yeah, I don't know, dude. It's crazy, but I think the Bucks definitely blew it the most, because you look at how much the Celtics troll. Bucks probably could have beat them, went on, and you're getting a pretty favorable matchup in the finals, most likely. So,
at least the Bucks have Giannis, bro. Like the Sixers fucking blew it like massively, and they don't even have none of their picks for the most part. Embiid is like fucking terrible and feeble and just injured every postseason. I don't know.
Yeah, but congratulations to Bam Adebayo on the Heat. I'm not saying the other person.
Yeah, right.
To make it the conference finals.
Congrats on Kevin Love and the Miami Heat.
There we go. Love is undefeated in the Eastern Conference playoff series.
Hey, there we go. That's what we need here. And we get to watch a rematch of last year. Hopefully this year is more exciting, I'm not going to lie. Even though I don't assume it will be. But
Michael Padaway Tomlin.
Who the hell is that?
Brian. Michael Pettaway Tomlin.
Oh,
you know that.
Yes, yeah.
You know
him. Yeah, I don't know why I tweaked that. All right, the big series of this second round, the one everybody was talking about, the one that outside of Philly and Boston, everybody cared about, probably even more, was a rematch of the greatest versus Stephen Curry. And I gotta say,
Laker Nation.
I gotta say, listen, I said Lakers in five. I was off, but I did say Lakers at five. I did not for once think Golden State and their depleted, awful depth would ever stand a chance against the Los Angeles Lakers. Certainly not when, if you could barely get much rim pressure against Sabonis, what do you think was going to happen against Anthony Davis?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Come on, man. That.
Well, I wasn't here for the predictions of that series, but I had Lakers in seven, so. I said, you know, good predictions.
I don't have the series going the distance. I don't remember how many games. I don't think I said any games. I just think I had the Lakers winning.
Yeah.
You said it would go in seven.
Yeah.
You had no team, but you, Felice. You said it would go seven, but you had no team.
I was close enough.
No team in seven.
I was close enough.
No team.
Yeah. I mean, that's real.
That's what he said. It would just go seven.
Yeah.
Two Hitler versus Stone, to be honest with you, but
probably just.
I mean, I wasn't here for my prediction either, but I said Lakers in six. I didn't
Bingo,
think
got
that,
one. We got 100% prediction. Go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't think that the Warriors could match Anthony Davis in the paint. After seeing Sabonis miss open layups all the series, people just assumed that Kevon Looney was going to do some shit against Anthony Davis. I was like, nah, AD is a little bit more skilled than Sabonis. And as you said, rim pressure, the lack of, you know, drawing fouls, it was going to hurt against the Lakers, who are amazing at drawing fouls. I saw the Warriors were fouling a lot against the Kings, and the Kings only have one or two players that can get real rim pressure, like De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk when he's in. They can get to the rim and get fouled and create that contact. And the Lakers have a bunch of them. They have Austin Reeves. They have obviously LeBron. They have AD, people like that. It's like at some point, the straw was going to break the camel's back. I saw the writing on the wall with Clay. People want to ignore it.
Shocker. Shocker.
Yeah, I
at least never Clay went outside. Man. I got something. I'm leaving with something.
I was never fooled by Clay. I was never fooled by Jordan Poole last year. Jordan Poole's been terrible.
Draymond sapped his powers.
Yeah.
He punched the shit out of him and he just became ass. He became terrible, man. I don't think he's a bad player.
Hey, he had a good game too. He could leave with that, you know.
I just think his situation, honestly, in my opinion. Yeah, like I wouldn't want to put in my hardest. I wouldn't want to put my hardest for the guy who punched me in the face.
It just changed the dynamic of their season.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
You know, for Jordan Poole, he was awful this season, this postseason. But I am gonna say we know he's a better player than that. But even Jordan Poole at his best, I think, is one of the most overrated players in the league.
Maxi Jordan Poole hero like tier of players are just all ass.
Yeah, Anthony Simons.
Anthony Simons is.
Gary Trent Jr.
Anthony Simons is pretty good, but I hyped him up too much. The man's
he got exposed.
He's good, but he's not like
he's with those guys.
Yeah. I mean, still a nice piece for Portland to sweeten the pot if they want to, you know.
Sharp a lot more, to be honest with you.
I bet my ass that Anthony Simons can make an entry pass. Can't say the same about certain people.
Scott, who's the one you guys had? Skylar Mays. Was it Skylar Mays who owned us that one game? I can't even remember. You guys had a bunch of role players playing that game and still won.
Yes.
I think it was Skylar Mays was your point guard that game.
Trent Wayford.
Yeah, that's W tanking.
Well, I mean, they didn't tank that game. That's a funny thing. They did not successfully tank that game. They failed at it.
Be successful when they – I don't even know what the lottery odds are.
They're like, they have top five odds, right?
Yeah, 10 and a half.
Yeah. Bro.
Yeah, you need to sell your soul.
I just know the lottery. There's just no way.
All right, Lakers and Golden. The thing we talked about this last episode in the same. Jalen just said it. Lex and everybody just said it, and we said it. We said we don't believe this series. If you watch it, you know Golden State. Yes, Golden State attempted like 100 more threes than the Lakers. Number one, number two,
they didn't go in though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They shot worse than the Lakers from the 3-point line.
That's kind of crazy.
People don't just look at names a lot going into series and things that matters. Warriors were terrible shooting wise. I won't say all season, obviously not, but at least in the first round against Sacramento, they couldn't make anything even though they're open.
They always shoot well at home. Wonder why that is, but
and they didn't this time around. So
they
did have a good shoot. Was it game one or game two? I can't remember. One of the games, like they had like two. Three players who hit 6 and 7 3 pointers.
Clay had like 8 threes that game.
It was one game. After game one, I pretty much knew the Lakers were going to win this series. I'm like, oh, they could actually win in G Center. I'm like, oh, where it is over.
Yeah. Curry had a terrible series.
Shock.
He was well defended. Shock. You know, it took Darren Ham, by the way. I said Dennis needs to start from game one. Vando should not play. And I expect the Lakers to whoop him in five. Darren Ham waited until game six. Waited until game six. So Dennis, you know, he knows how to track much better. And certainly he knows how to, he's not like a liability on offense where he's actually going to get calls for you. You know, as much as Warrior fans kept whining about him, but Dennis is a good foul drawer. Like he does a great job getting to the line.
Yeah, he gets to the rim a little bit.
You know, he's
a little crafty.
Right. You know, exactly. Them little crafty, you know, annoying point guards, veteran point guards. So,
you know, he could do that little pump fake and then get you in the air. And then after that, it's Jover. So, yeah.
Exactly. Like that's what he's good at. Kerry wasn't shooting well.
Darvin Ham is surprising me this playoffs, to be honest. I didn't give him a chance to beat the Grizzlies, but he actually coached well.
This series he had the only negative I thought is he took too long to replace the starting lineup. But Vando only played like 11 minutes 4 games prior, so he was adjusting. He wasn't like just watching doing nothing. He had a great series, Darvin Ham. Steve Kerr though, like you've seen putting AD in those pick and rolls. Gave you success, but they didn't do it. What was the game they lost? Was it game five, the very close one they lost at the end?
I believe it was,
Game four.
They went away from that a lot. Even though, to be fair, Curry did get locked down by AD in back-to-back.
I don't really blame Kerr much for this series, to be honest. Like, your roster is just ass, bro.
Yeah, that is fair. As much as
I want to say something about Clay Thompson, that trash-ass nigga. Every time I keep telling people that Klay Thompson is trash. Every time he has a good game, people just pop up in my mentions, want to be tagging me and shit. I'm like, word. I'm like, I have patience, bro. Don't worry. Then he does bullshit like this. That's why he didn't make the top 75. This is why. Because he's not good.
Liz and I both, we get tagged in chats when Klay has this one good game. We just get tagged.
He has these good games, and they be against the worst like fucking teams in the NBA, and it's just hitting open shots. I'm like, congrats for doing your job.
Yeah, I mean, it's Curry had a rough season, but I don't want to blame you. You don't have much help. Guys are overloading on you. Guys can't make him pay. Even if you make a good extra pass, the open man can't hit his jump shots.
My only gripe with Curry is that whenever he faces tough defenses in the playoffs, he always seems to like drop. Yeah. Which is, it's like rare because the Warriors really don't play good defenses that often in the playoffs.
Hardly ever. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't even really surprised. What I was surprised about though is the very, very poor performance from Steph. I don't want to say very, very poor, but far.
It wasn't poor, what you expect but from it him. Was what pretty expect mid. From,
you know, you certainly don't. The worst plays he had was game five when he fell. He got the ball back and he just threw it out of bounds, even though they had a timeout and he had possession of the ball.
What was the game where he tried to isolate on AD twice and he couldn't score?
Game five. That was game five as well. Was it game four or game five?
Yeah.
It was game four. It was in LA.
So it was game four, my bad.
I mean, in his prime, he couldn't shake Kevin Love, so I don't know what the fuck he was thinking with
the lady. That was one of the best defensive positions ever. Kevin Love, if only you had that defense for us.
AD this playoffs has been weird because his scoring is clearly not like...
It's not that impressive.
He's not even the best defender in the whole playoffs.
He's regressed pretty heavily as a scorer overall because... If you look at his scoring numbers this postseason, he's had, you know, like I said, you look at a game log, it's hilarious, but his actual overall stats for the whole postseason, scoring-wise, aren't the greatest, to be honest with you. He's only averaging about 21, so he's got to do more than that if they're going to have a chance against Denver, but his defense is more than made up for. They're not here without his defense, so.
And he only shot 14 times, to be fair. I mean, he shot 58.
Yeah, that game six, he was phenomenal on that game six, but he only took 9 shots. He's been very conservative. Boards.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of weird to me. But
I don't think he'll be that against Jokic, just for sure.
Yeah, definitely not.
If the Lakers want to beat the Nuggets, AD is going to have to be aggressive. He might have to take some jump shots, too, to take Jokic away from the rim. But that's not going to happen. He can't hit those anyways. So
exactly. That's my biggest concern and probably why I'm not leaning to the Lakers to win the series, because I feel like AD is just not a consistent, reliable jump shooter that he's going to take himself out of some games. And
the reason why the Lakers were able to beat the Nuggets in 2020, I mean, obviously LeBron was actually good and he wasn't, like, dropping 20 on, like, mid-efficiency. But like also now, because AD was – for some reason, was
shooting 38% from three in the playoffs.
Yeah, he was actually stretching the floor. So then you have LeBron just driving in, and he's not driving in on the center. So this is Jover. Yeah, not stopping LeBron getting into the rim.
We will get to Denver and Lakers. I do want to go over that.
True.
But quickly, I would like to move on to the final series we haven't mentioned. Denver, Phoenix.
Yep.
Well, we nailed this series. We nailed it.
We got this right.
I wasn't here, but we all nailed it.
Yeah, we did. We did, surprisingly. We said...
I just knew the result of this series after watching the Suns play the Clippers like twice.
Yeah, yeah. That's all you had to see, really. Russell Westbrook averaging 26.
I thought the Suns were going to make the finals before the playoffs, but I watched like two games. I'm like, word, Jover.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
The Norman Powell 40-point game showed me everything I needed to know.
I mean, it was
I'm like, if a semi-washed Russell Westbrook is having a 40-point game against you, then you just need to reevaluate your defense as a whole.
I want you guys to do me a big favor, right? And we said this would be a good. Can you guys guess for me how much shots the Suns took in 6 games in the restricted area?
Oh God! I'm gonna say 53.
Okay,
less than 50.
Gotta go a little over. That'd be a little crazy. That's only about 10 paint shots per game. They're not that bad. Or less.
I'll say I'll say 73.
All right. Okay, there you go, Felice. It's exactly 80 shots in the restricted.
I just guess around the game.
That's insane, man.
That's terrible because Denver shot 30 more, 30, 40 more essentially than them.
Wow.
And they didn't even shoot bad from the restricted area. That's what makes me laugh.
Yeah, Booker was like insane. His shot making this series until like game six
was sensational.
Was insane. Yeah.
Yeah, 70% from the restricted area, and you only took about what would the math be, like 15 a game essentially? I'm being rough with the math. I don't think that's exactly accurate, but it's not. It would
be low.
Yeah,
that's a low number.
It's an unacceptable amount. When you found such success doing so, because your two best players love to jump shoot the mid range. Now Booker, I'm not gonna blame him because he was actually shooting as good as if he took him in the paint anyway, in the restricted area anyway, but. Kevin Durant is a one guy.
You can't really fault Booker for anything the Suns did this postseason because he was probably, honestly, he was probably the best player in the whole playoffs until game six.
Okay, I thought Jokic had a better, was having a better
season. I'd say, yeah, Jokic.
I forgot Jokic existed, yeah.
Kevin Durant, bro, if you're shooting like this, you got to attack the rim, even though, as you mentioned, Felice, we talked about it last year.
He can't.
Right, like his rim pressure was a career low last year, and putting no pressure on the rim, that you can't have that. Ayton,
injuries took a toll on him, man.
Ayton was very soft this series.
I mean, we don't expect anything else from him.
Yeah,
I've said everything I need to say about Ayton in my life, so that's
the exact people talked about.
Terrible center, man.
To beat this one makes me mad. Anthony Edwards gave you the recipe to beat this team, and you just decide to not replicate it. That's what's confusing me in my brain. It's because why I think the Lakers have a better shot than Phoenix is because they at least will try and replicate that.
Well, maybe Phoenix doesn't have a player as good as Anthony Edwards.
I ain't complaining about that. I ain't complaining about that.
Listen, nobody even on the Lakers is going to pressure the rim like Anthony Edwards. And I say this because LeBron's foot is clearly not.
Exactly. That's a big
100%.
Yeah, he clearly needs off-season surgery.
Yeah.
In game six, though, LeBron had a little, you know.
Yeah, a little vintage.
He had a little juice.
Yeah. So maybe just taking a rest, even though I severely doubt it. Like, I don't think he would be.
No, he's not. That foot is severely injured.
Right. So. Phoenix was very good through most of the court. But a big thing about me was they would get good looks in the corners, but they couldn't hit him when I was watching. And then if you look at stats.
Oh, yeah. The Suns role players in this series just regressed to the mean. Like, Torrey Craig completely ass after the Clippers series. Shocker. Who else was on the team? Shamit had one fake game, but he wasn't really good in general.
Game four.
I had Nuggets at five. The only reason that didn't happen is because Landry Shamit had a fake ass fourth quarter game four. Otherwise, it was Nuggets at five. So there you go.
They couldn't just make him outside of Devin Booker was really the only reliable shot maker.
A team that can't get rim pressure is just you're just not gonna win in the playoffs, right? Like. Unless you have fucking like 2019 Kawhi Leonard, you're just, and even then he could get to the end.
And then Cameron Payne he didn't get to play until what was it? When did game three?
He was the best player in game six. So
yeah, he did shoot well. So some of these guys who did end up shooting pretty well didn't play much minutes anyway. And then again, you tax Kevin Durant once again. They played over 40 minutes a night. And then again, they have no avenues to improve this summer. That's the funny thing. On top of that,
don't they probably have cap space? You're gonna have to probably move Ayton, move Chris Paul, and then even then, you're probably getting pennies on the dollar, especially for Chris Paul. You're just not getting any new values. You traded most of your picks. It's not looking good, and then you have to hire a whole new head coach. I'm pretty sure the owner has taken control of like basketball operations too, which that's kind of risky.
Oh yeah, that's a bad idea.
That's kind of risky.
Let me say something for Pacer fans real quick. You guys dodged a bullet that the Suns matched to that contract, because let me tell you something. Miles Turner is better than DeAndre Ayton. I'm comfortable saying that. I would say.
I mean, yeah.
He's a better player than DeAndre Ayton because, I mean, look, he's somehow a worse rebounder than Ayton, but at least he can defend, and he's actually a pretty good shooter. So,
yeah, he's a good shooter.
You're lucky that happened now. no way you want to go back and try and get
Bro, he would have opened up way more avenues for the Suns because Turner shot what, like 40% from three this year, something like that.
Something kind of fake,
but we'll see if it.
Yeah, kind of fake, but still, yeah, it was pretty crazy. Nonetheless,
if you have a stretch five, you could take Jokic out of the paint, and then since Kevin Durant and Booker are already fucking mid-ass rim pressure type players, anyways, they probably have an easier time.
Obviously, Turner's a better defender too.
Yeah, way better.
I'm shocked they passed on
that. He probably would have rebounded way better than Aiden did this series. I mean, there were so many fucking clips of Aiden.
Oh, yeah, this series was embarrassing. Even though that's the one complaining about Miles Turner, he's a putrid rebounder.
He
would definitely put more effort than Aiden. That was
one clip, I watched the shit like yesterday. It was like game one. Jokic literally missed. I'm not even exaggerating. I think probably like four layups in a row.
He was a troll.
And he just
kept
getting the ball back.
Yeah, that was game one. I think it was. Yeah, he's literally. And then he's gonna say, "What could I do in that situation? Get your ass back in there, maybe."
He was doing these fat ass tip ins, and I'm like, "Bro, like, what the fuck?" I'm like, Aiden is just watching this shit happen too.
Like, bro, it's and props to Denver, specifically to Jokic. A lot of people thought Aiton would give him difficulties. No, that was science in game one.
So.
Yeah, just obliterated him in the paint, made the right reads. They attacked relentlessly. They're role players who are, for whatever reason, under disrespected. KCP, props to
Bruce Brown. Bruce Brown outplayed Kevin Durant in another series. Unreal.
Great player, Bruce Brown.
Role players keep coming, and they keep winning the Jokic. That's the one thing they couldn't do in the regular season, but now in the playoffs, all of a sudden they could win all the Jokic.
Who the fuck even is their backup Jokic center?
They don't even use a backup center. Aaron Gordon.
They just also have Gordon at the five, right?
Yeah, they don't play Thomas Bryant.
Don't look at DeAndre Jordan's plus minus against the
Timberwolves. DeAndre Jordan, he's gotten in the game like once or twice in the playoffs, but seriously, they don't play a center other than Jokic.
They play Jordan once or twice, and it's like in spurts. It's not like
Very short spurts to close a quarter or something.
Literally, yeah. So
I have to say, I can't believe I'm saying this, man. Jokic is clear best player in the world.
Right now he's.
It's what Embiid does to people. Just disgusting player, man. Can't believe it.
And they have they have the second best def probably remaining outside of Boston, I would say too. So
yeah, they're nice, and they got Jokic is the best offensive player in the world. So
he's just the best player in the world.
He's the best player in the world. But the
I can't believe that came out of my mouth. But
that's you just got to give the guys respect. That you got to give this guy Jokic's props, and Jokic, the job ain't finished, man. You got to get your game back against a team that whooped you 2 years ago. And then we'll quickly talk about this series. Lakers and Nuggets, how much games, guys?
Nuggets and six.
I'll probably say the same.
I'd say Nuggets and six because I think that as good as the Lakers' defense has been this season, I mean, my bad, this playoffs, I think that their offense has been bad.
Pretty mediocre,
It's not really noticeable. Oh, it hasn't been noticeable because they have gone against two inefficient offenses that score in spurts. But
they can get in transition when they get stopped.
Yeah, that aren't fast and don't get in transition. But when you watch them this series, I just want you to see the efficiency of the Nuggets offense versus the inefficiency of the Lakers offense. And when I say inefficiency, I'm not talking about the shooting. I'm not talking about the percentages that they put up. I'm talking about the quality of shots. The quality of the shots that the Nuggets get by swinging the ball, pressuring the rim, driving, kicking, and the gravity of Jokic is way better than the quality of shots that the Lakers get on one dribble pull-offs or mid-range shots or settling for an AD contested mid-range.
Yeah.
So I think that the Nuggets get higher percentage shots. I think that they have a great home court advantage in Denver with the elevation.
The altitude shit
best
might
in the league. Altitude is real. Yeah, that's the best.
Yeah, the altitude shit is real. If you ever go to Denver,
Kevin Durant was seeing fucking.
He started off 1-10. Yeah, he started off
1-10. Purple dots instead of seeing the rim.
So, I think that the Nuggets take advantage of their home. They cover, you know, they win the first two games at home. And from then, I just don't think that the Lakers have it in them to fight back a 0-2 start. I think LeBron is injured, and that injury has shown. I do not care what they did to the Warriors. The Warriors' defense is bad. And AD,
they have two good defenders.
Yeah, they have two good defenders. And I think that if the Lakers do want to win this series, AD is going to have to be 30 and goddamn 15, honestly. I don't
know. Bro, he's got to be. If the Lakers want to win this series, Anthony Davis is going to not only have to attempt jump shots, he's going to have to make them.
He has to go bubble mode, literally. He literally has to shoot like he did in the bubble.
Which, Michael Pettaway Tomlin, because that's not happening. There's no fucking
It's not happening. It never happened before the bubble.
It's never happening again.
It's never happening again.
Nobody's giving the Lakers a shot.
No, I definitely give the Lakers a shot, but
it's going to have to take, like, LeBron reverting to actually being, like, a good player.
Yeah.
And not, like, trolling. And I don't know, to be honest. I don't think AD is going to do much to stop Jokic. Jokic is an elite shooter.
Yeah. On the Lakers having a chance.
Jokic is an elite shooter, and he's going to stretch AD out to the three-point line.
Exactly.
Which, that's going to open shit up for Gordon. Cutters.
Lakers, Bruce Brown. Lakers off-ball defense is – look, so their defense is great. Their off-ball defense is not great. Those cutters
their
are
going to off-ball defense is spooky.
And their defense is a concern because – especially if you have to bench Vandal, it gets a little bit
Exactly. Vandal goes off the floor. Who's stopping Aaron Gordon cutting to the rim and dunking on someone?
They'll probably start Vanderbilt and try to see if they'll try to probably put him on Jokic and just have AD like roam. But to be honest, like if Vanderbilt is unplayable offensively, so I don't know how much you can get away with that.
Yeah.
Then on top of that, Jokic dragging AD out of the paint, that's going to open shit up for all their role players and Jamal Murray, obviously. So I don't know.
Especially the bench players that be attacking the rim a lot who are gonna come
and then if KCP wants to be like the greatest like role player ever, like he was against the fucking Suns, he was just fucking lighting them up, bro. Like that shit was insane. Man.
Sensational ball from KCP.
Great player. Yeah. You know, Jokic, best player in the world, best offensive player. I will say this though. He is shooting an unusually high percentage from three. I could see that dipping a little bit, but he doesn't really have to be making threes.
No one's guarding him, Lexan. Have you seen when
he just has to be a threat from three.
Like, no one's guarding him. That's why he's making it.
But, you know, even if no one's guarding him, it's still hard to make, you know, 45% of your shots. But he's going to give you
at least 45% of his threes?
In both series, 44, in Phoenix 45, and Minnesota.
All right, that's a little fake. It's
like 40, all right. It's been for 11 games in a row now, so.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a little 45% is crazy.
Even if it's not sustainable, this guy, he's going to give you, you know, at least 35% on, like, three attempts. That's good enough. That's good basketball. He's going to be fine. Not worried about that. And, you know, as amazing as Anthony Davis is, the best defender in the playoffs, making a case for the best defender in the league because of this, no defense in the history of the sport is stopping Jokic. This guy's probably the most flawless offensive player I've ever seen. So, I don't know. And then you got all of these cutters and the Lakers off-ball movement not great. And my biggest thing, that the reason I don't think the Lakers stand too big of a chance the reason I say they might stand a chance is if LeBron magically heals. But LeBron's ability to press the rim with that foot is just not there, and that's the best way you can beat the Nuggets.
Yeah, they're probably going to have Aaron Gordon guarding him.
Yeah, yeah, Aaron Gordon's a great fitter. He locked up KD. He did.
Could have locked him.
Even though KD was missing shots.
He locked him. He locked him up in like games 1, 2. I could say 4, but KD emptied the clip at least. 5 and 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys have all of you guys say Nuggets in 6?
Yeah, Nuggets in 6, I'd say. You know, I said Nuggets in 5 against the Suns, and that should have happened, but Landry Shamet had a fake game. I think the Lakers are a better team than the Suns, so I say they get 2 games.
So, they're a better team. They're way better defensive team. Yeah. Yeah, the center is not a bitch. That's like the biggest part.
I got Nuggets in 6 too. You guys literally mentioned all the reason I don't want to waste up clock. LeBron is cooked. His right ankle is finished. So the only way to beat this Denver defense, as we said, rim pressure. All game, every moment.
And nobody on the Lakers who could pressure the rim like Anthony Edwards with the state.
Yeah, I didn't even mention Michael Porter Jr. Yeah, he might.
And as you guys, as Felice mentioned, Every team AD has played in the playoffs so far, he has always been able to cover a non-shooter, which allows him to sag into the paint and reject shots. Unfortunately, Denver did not have anyone like that. Everybody on the team will shoot, and even if Jokic sits, well, they're just putting on a smaller guy who's going to shoot anyway. Their best bet is to have AD sag off Aaron Gordon. And, well, if Aaron Gordon's hitting his shots, then good night.
But they don't have the power forward to put – like,
he shot 43% from three against Phoenix. I mean, not much attempts, but still respectable enough for.
No, I'm saying like the Lakers don't have the power forward, the ideal like power forward to guard Jokic.
They don't have a 7-footer, right?
To throw to work.
I guess Mo Bamba.
Not even that. It doesn't have to be a 7-footer, but like
Mo Bamba.
I mean, try Mo Bamba throwing out there. See,
okay.
It's better than Vando. At least Mo Bamba can shoot. Is that? Come on, now.
In theory, he can.
I'm very sure, bro.
All right, respect Mo Bamba.
If they put Mo Bamba on Jokic, he might drop 40.
Well, AD like helping, right? With AD helping out, always being there.
Then Aaron Gordon is dropping 25.
Yeah, that's my point, Jalen. If Aaron Gordon's making the shots, it's over. There's no hope. Like, at that point, just quit.
If Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. are making their shots, which probably will happen,
it's over. Like, there's nothing you could do, honestly.
If they're making their shots, then if they're not making their shots, then Jokic is going to empty the clip and score fucking 53 points.
Right,
bro. It makes me wonder how the fuck did PJ Tucker lock up Jokic for a half? Like I'm just watching Jokic in the playoffs, and I'm really like confused as to how that happened.
Jokic really can tell he wants a championship. You can tell the effort level is just dialed in, especially from like. The end of February.
Bro, he was
to March,
trying against
PJ
Tucker. He just couldn't back him down for some reason. I'm like, he's having like the weight advantage too. I'm like, what the fuck?
And then foul. Maybe he was in foul trouble. That could be a possibility. Because Lakers are going to have to put him in foul trouble because you can put him in foul trouble. The Timberwolves are able to. I think he was like top two along with Rudy Gobert in fouls in the first round.
Owen Rudy with some of those calls as well.
Yeah. So if the Lakers can kind of replicate what Kat and Ant and them did to Jokic in terms
of. Is Rudy like the only center that actually held Jokic to a terrible, like, efficient game?
It's the only one I've seen.
Cat held him. Well, Cat, they said as the nearest defender, had him to 37% field goal shooting. But that's obviously the caveat that
in the game or like in the series?
In the entire series.
Okay, I'm talking about like just a full game. Like,
yeah, Cat held him to 39% shooting the night.
Was crazy.
That wasn't Gobert, that was Cat.
I don't know. I watched the game. It looked like Rudy was playing better defense to me, but.
Rudy was playing great defense in game five. Like, just him being there made Jokic. If you watch, like, Jokic was just settling for, like, turnaround jump shots. He wasn't even, like, trying to go in the paint.
Right.
But again, Lakers don't.
Well, usually he can hit those shits, so.
Right.
I've never seen Jokic take bad shots and force them against any player before I saw Rudy Gobert.
Yeah. Like,
gripe with Jokic offensively in the regular season was there was games where he just would not shoot the ball. And I'm like, you got it, bro.
Yeah, especially when the team's not making shots, empty the clip, bro. When called upon, this guy could be the best scorer in the league.
He has some Harden syndrome where he would just fucking pass to the fucking corner. I'm like, you got it, bro.
But now he's seen in the playoffs, you know, there's no excuses for that. He's been in big games.
Embiid can't do that.
So
Jokic just coasted away in the end of that regular season. He probably would have won MVP if he
but
didn't.
But this series is far more exciting than the one.
He probably would have averaged like 35, 10, and 10 against Al Horford. No, we'll never know.
Boston, Miami.
Well, we might if he plays.
Well,
entertain
we'll
me.
Out,
anybody taking Miami?
No.
Fuck no.
Celtics in five.
Yeah, Boston in five.
I'm gonna say six because I smell one game where Jimmy Butler obviously just wins in the game, and I smell like the fakest role player game ever. I can't put my hands on who.
Caleb Martin just goes off for no reason.
But I'm sorry, Boston's offense and their defense is on a level above the Knicks. So
I'm trying to think because now that they're gonna start double bigs, I'm trying to think who the fuck is the Kevin Love will have a fake game. There it is. I'm trying to remember who the Heat power for. Yeah, Kevin Love will have a fake game.
Do they match? I wonder if they match. I would severely doubt it, but maybe they do match the double big with their own double bigs. But
no, they're gonna go double bigs the rest of the season.
So I'm interested in how Jimmy Butler is gonna able to get around this defense because it's certainly not gonna
how
be
their
easy.
Lineup is designed to be played. Like, I'm surprised it took them until facing elimination to figure that out.
Right, Joe Mazzulla's special.
Jeez.
needs.
I'm concerned for Miami in the series with the defense that they can, the level of defense they're going to play with the two bigs. The fact that you're probably crazy likely
because Mazzulla coached a bad series, and then Celtics fans were like, "I can't wait for him to be gone." I'm like, "How many NBA fans actually like the head coach? Like genuinely, like
zero. I'd be shocked if I know any like, that like
every,
their coach.
Every time me. You ask people why they don't like their head coach, it's like the same shit all the time with like
no further explanation. Yeah,
they say no adjustments, doesn't call timeouts, rotation is bad. Like it's just the same shit all the time."
So now is it the GMs? Is it the GMs that we need to be talking
about? Unless you're Steven Silas, like everybody else is like the same generic shit.
Yeah. So I think we need to start blaming the GMs, guys. We need to start saying fire the GM before we say the coach
at this point. Maybe. NBA coaches have the shortest leeches.
Yeah.
Telling me about fire the GM?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maury.
Listen,
I'm gonna say right now because maybe we by some chance don't get the matchup, even though I do think we are. But Nuggets and Celtics, let me tell you right now, I'm gonna just say it in case for some reason I'm not here next part of that matchup doesn't happen. Before the playoffs and at some point in the middle of the season, I said that the Celtics would destroy the Nuggets in like five games, but I'm not so confident about that now.
Yeah, watching them in the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not so confident about that. I think that's going to be very a fun good series. Looks.
They just,
that's
the concern. They just went Boston. To – the Celtics just played two series that had no business being more than five games.
Right. And Mazzulla's – I mean, exactly. Mazzulla can't figure out anything. How is he going to stop Jokic?
Even just this Miami season, I mean, Miami will generate good looks. The question is this great shooting going to continue for them or not? Because – Boston's defense is a lot of looks all game. So
considering Miami doesn't have like the post presence that in theory Embiid should have, I'm not even gonna say he has. I'm gonna say in theory because he just disgusted me. I don't think the Heat are gonna get as many open looks as people would think. It depends on how
Bam
Jimmy
has
looks.
Found success on them, right? Bam has found success against them, though.
Against backup centers.
I mean, listen. I do think that Jimmy, obviously, this Jimmy Butler can play it like the first round and doesn't struggle too much. He will be able to create really good looks.
It truly guys. Depends on his health because he hasn't looked like.
That is a good thing.
Yeah.
He definitely didn't look 100%.
But he had a good playmaking series against the Knicks, and he needs to replicate that, but the scoring needs to up. And
I just don't think the looks are going to be the same.
It's just too much of an uphill climb. Like for Miami to climb, because even the first Milwaukee that they beat, and I think Milwaukee and Boston are in the same tier as teams. Milwaukee missed Giannis, man.
What the fuck?
Because you know Giannis missed three games. Like that's a big deal. And Boston, hopefully both teams stay healthy. Boston will not be missing their best player for three games. So,
yeah, man, I could rant about the Bucks. I'm not going to. I'll just say one thing, and it's like, you know, everybody's gonna say Giannis played two games, so they could have won those two games. Yeah, but you got to look at the way the Heat won. Dramatic fashion. That's not happening four times in five games that Giannis is playing 40 minutes a game in. Let's just be real with ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
But
One thing I'm going to say, the Sixers season was not a failure. It was steps towards success. I'm going to use that from now on, bro.
Yeah, Giannis has motivated me to no longer feel failure.
There you go. So if you fail the lottery, Lexi, you know what to say. That you know what your line is.
Oh, no, I'm going to just put a bullet in Adam Silver's head. But
that's not steps to success. That's steps to fucking suicide, bro. If you don't get one banana.
You need that. All right. I appreciate y'all coming on. We will find out soon enough if we were.
That's all weird. I said.
If we were cooking like we did last round, we were not missing. Hopefully this round we continue with the very good trend of predictions and ball, you know, I mean, we know more ball than the coaches, it seems, right now. I'm not gonna lie, no hate.
and the GMs, shocker. You know,
put me as Philadelphia GM right now, it'd be celebrating.
Bro, I swear to God, I might check Maury's Twitter and he probably retweeted some crypto. Like, he's just weird.
All right, y'all, I appreciate y'all coming out. We'll catch y'all once these rounds come to an end. And you guys can find us on Spaces during these series.
Yep, of course, I speak on Twitter,
yes, sir.